this morning. But God saved you and He changed you. Then He set your feet. He established your goings. And so He called you out and set your feet on the solid rock. He gave you a better life. I mean, He deterred you from obstacles that was going to take place. Amen. Thank God that He did. He's a God of great salvation. Great salvation. Hallelujah. Got a little ringing going on down here. Look in 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings, if you would please pray for me that I'd say and do what God would want this morning. And I've got a message on my heart, and I don't know how to come out. You say, that's probably about like that every Sunday. Yeah, it really is. But this Sunday, it's really like that. But it's okay. God's got it in control. Amen? And so I'm excited about it. And what God's going to do for our hearts and in our hearts this morning. And I'm thankful that you're here. And boy, thankful that God's here. Hallelujah to God. Thank you. Thank God for His presence. And we can humble ourselves and meet with the Holy God. We're just going over and seeing the glory of God filled the temple. And that's what happens here. When we praise God and lift up holy hands to the Lord and give Him praise, the glory of God, He responds. I'm glad I serve a responding God. Oh, that's good. The Philistines God Dagon was not a God who responded. They had to build Him a house, set Him up. He was an idol and an image that they went to and prayed to and talked to, but never ever got a response. Hallelujah to God. Oh, but one day the Ark of the Covenant was stolen from Israel, put in that place where old Dagon stood. The Ark of the Covenant was taken in there. Hey, the Philistines didn't know all about it, didn't know what was all that Ark represented, didn't know why the manna was in it, what it all was about, but they put that in there. And they thought it was just a normal, ordinary God, just a normal, everyday, ordinary God, just another image, another idol, another thing, another person, another image to look at and maybe to pray to. Maybe it would reveal something to them. Maybe it would help them. Hey, but the next morning they got in there and their Dagon God fell down. It was just an image and an idol, but just to show that God, well, the God of the Ark of the Covenant was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Israel and Jacob, thank God, and the God that represented the Ark of the Covenant was the only God. Amen. All the other gods were little g gods, little false gods. And thank God when they put that Ark of the Covenant, it represented some things. It represented the power of God. It represented the provisions of God. And that represented the preeminence that God should have in every mankind. And He took preeminence in that place. I can't get out of this word this morning. Can't get away from this word, preeminence. Hey, the next morning, the old Philistine lords went in there to check on the Ark of the Covenant, and it was fine. Oh, but it was their God Dagon that was falling down on their face. Amen. And then they set Him back up and put Him back up and left Him in there. And the next morning they went in there to check on it again. And our God was just fine. The Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence of God, He was fine. Hallelujah. He never changes. Hallelujah. Oh, but their God, little Dagon, hey, was fell down and had his head cut off and his hands cut off. That represented a God who was in control. And no matter what people put in front of God, God can eliminate the power that they think they have and the control that they think they have. And God is in control of all things. Somebody go to church with me. Aren't you glad, hey, that you serve a living, true God? Hey, ain't you glad you serve a God who is real and a God that's alive? We ain't got to pick Him up. He picks us up. We ain't got to dust Him off. He dusts us off. We ain't got to work on Him. He works on us. Hallelujah this morning. And we serve a God who that is alive forevermore. And He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Thank God this morning. Hey, we ought to rejoice. Rejoice, and that our name is written in the book of life, and that we serve a God who is on the throne. We serve a God who resurrected. We serve a God who is alive forevermore. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel a little bit better. Amen. I think I was holding back on you until that happened. Amen. Hey, we need to give Him the preeminence and praise Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He does. Hey, He's not no picture on the wall. He's not a little card I carry in my wallet to represent superstition. I don't carry Him in my pocket, hallelujah. But He sits on the throne of David. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the great, the bright and morning star. He's the great I Am. He's the only God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of all salvation, the Bible says. Thank God for Him. Woo, hallelujah. I believe He just wants us to brag upon Him this morning just for a little while. Oh, hallelujah. I never knew love till I met Jesus. Oh, thank God for His love. I'm glad He doesn't turn one person astray. He doesn't shun nobody. God's is a God that accepts not the sin, but accepts the sacrifice. He accepts a repentant sinner. No matter what kind of repentance needs to take place, He accepts it. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And we're going to begin reading somewhere right through here. Look in verse number, I'm just going to give a text verse. Verse number 36. Verse number 36. Let's stand, if you would please, to honor the Word of God this morning. I hope you didn't come in here to get out at 12, because it just ain't going to happen today. Anybody come here to stay? All right, on the right, got some. How about the left? My left. Hallelujah. Oh, it's just good to be here. I'm just having a good time in the Lord. Praise His name. Look at verse 36. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 36. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Amen. Boy, what would America be like if God would turn America's hearts back to Him? What would it be like if we'd have a turning back to God? Oh, wouldn't it be good? Hey, we're already on this subject. We might as well just go ahead and write it. Amen. We're already on the subject of revival. We've already been talking about America getting it on fire. Hey, I believe that God is a God that can do these things. Are you with me this morning? I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve a dry God. I serve a living God, and He's alive, and He's ever living to make intercession for the saints of God, and He is the God, only God of revival. And when you turn to Him, He'll turn to you. Oh, yes. They turned their heart back to God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people saw it and fell upon their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I want you to say that last part of verse number 39 with me. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God with me. All right, here we go. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Let's say it all together one more time. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Let's say it one more time just for the Holy Ghost. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Don't that make you feel good? Hey, to proclaim that He's God. I believe the devil needs to know who's God. I believe your coworker needs to know who's God. I believe your house, your home, your family. Every once in a while, just walk into an empty room. Nobody's got to be there. Hey, but you ought to say, the Lord's God, friend. Hey, the Lord's God, friend. He's God, and He's God everywhere, amen. Giving Him the preeminence. Thank God. Now look, here you have this passage of Scripture where we call it the competition or the between the God of Balaam Balak and all the idols and the God that Ahab and Jezebel worshipped, and they brought into Israel, and they began to worship these idols and had groves. And here you got Elijah. After 3 years of famine, 3 years of no rain, Elijah, the man of God, come back to Ahab. And Ahab said, "Hey, what are you doing coming back? Why did you?" He said, "When you left, you prayed that there wouldn't be no rain, and I haven't saw you in 3 years, and there ain't been rain." He said, "You cursed me, and because of you, we don't have no rain." And Elijah said, "It wasn't me, it was you. The reason it ain't raining is because of you." And he said, "I tell you what you do. Let's go ahead and make a contest. For the last 3 years, you've been worshiping Baal. For the last 3 years, you've been calling on your false gods. For the last 3 years, hey, there ain't been rain. There ain't been famine. The crops ain't growing. You're living off rations. You're eating mixed up mashed potatoes that you can mix in a box. Amen." That's what they was doing. That's why that stuff is sinful, man. Amen. You ought to learn how to peel a potato, thank God. Hey, but anyway, just on a side note, they tried all them other things and it wasn't good enough. And Elijah showed up and said, "I tell you what, let's make a contest. You build an altar and you pray to your gods and you see which one will answer by fire." And so they did. They got this competition up, and I mean, they went all day long, and you find that after a while, Elijah began to mock them because they was false gods, and nothing was taking place. And they was singing, and they was dancing, and they was cutting themselves, and they were trying to get their God to respond. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing took place. I tell you, church, their gods don't respond. The world's gods don't respond. Nothing takes place. The world's full of superstition. The world has to try this, try that. Hey, they done deleted God, Jehovah God, and Jesus Christ, His Son, His only begotten Son, out of the picture, and they're after another superstition or worshiping all kinds of gods, their own theology, their own thinking, their all own independence. Hey, but one day they're going to stand before the same God that Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. You know, the fire came down when Elijah prayed, and that's the verses we read. And look what happened to the people. The fire fell, and all the people fell on their faces and said what you said a while ago. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Now, they'd never have to suffer the things that they're fixing to suffer and never went through this famine if they would acknowledge it at first. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us today. Lord, bless this message and your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Why No Revival?" Why no revival? I'm not the answer, honestly, to why there is no revival, but I believe I can show you some things in the Word of God using this passage of Scripture of the reason why there is no revival. Now, I want you to listen to me, church, just for a little bit. We've had some meetings and revivals at this church, and other churches have them. There's churches down the road have them. They have a good time, have good services. God moves. People get saved, and that's all fine and good, and I'm for that. You know me. I could have revival from now until December 25th every night, and I would be happy, and I would enjoy it. I just love to meet with God's people. I love to be in church. I love to sing songs, and I like preaching. Because that's what God said. The Bible says by the foolishness of preaching, He chose to save them that believe. Amen. And so you've got to have preaching. And I like singing. And I like shouting. I like church. I don't know. Anybody in there like church? Thank God. I love revival meetings. I like to go to revival meetings. But honestly, I have to admit to you, I have recently just kind of leveled out. You know what I mean? I've kind of been content with the way things are going. And I haven't had the right proper hunger and thirst after a true revival that I should need as a pastor. And not just as a pastor, but as a Christian. And as a member of this church. Amen. So I am on a mission. And I want to preach the message. God showed me why no revival. I'm on a mission to having personal revival. I really am. You pray for me. And I want to be the example first. We're going to have a revival service the end of November, going into 1st of December. And I hope to God. I even asked the evangelist, you know me, I asked the evangelist, I said, do you have anything planned after our meeting? He said, no. I said, good, keep it open, because God may do something. And if God does something great, I want you to stay. I want you, he's an evangelist, he travels. I said, I want you to stay, and we're going to take care of you. Hey, but if God really sends us true revival, I want you to stay, and I want you to be willing and ready to preach what God's laid on your heart. And so you pray, and I hope, hopefully I'll lead the church into some prayer times, and personally we'll pray to now and to then that God will send us great revival. And I want to see revival. But there's a need. There's a reason why no revival. And I've got to tell you about all these meetings. I love them. But honestly, the churches of today are not experiencing true revival. America hasn't experienced true revival since the last 1800s. There's been some independent preachers that have preached and they've had true revivals, and their tent meetings and revival meetings have gone on to 11 and 12 and 13, 7, 8 weeks, and they've had touches of revival. And that's great. That proves to me that the old legalistic crowd that thinks God's done with America and thinks God's done with the grace of God in the church, and they done hung up the shingle of revival and they give it up on hope on the lost and dying world. Hey, son, they could have that kind of life. Hey, they could have that kind of life. They could have that kind of church. They could have that kind of theology, and they could have that Christianity. Take it and shove it is all I got to say. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I thank God. I know God is not, that's not my God. That is not the God of the Word of God. God is a God that everything He touches, He makes alive. Everything He does, son, there's fruits and there's a response. God, are you with me, church? Are you with me? I want you to know, if I don't get nothing out of this message and you don't get nothing out of this message, I want you to know, hey, this morning, that God is not content with your lifestyle of living for God. He's not content with your prayer life. He's not content with your Bible reading. He's not content with your devotion to God. He is not content on you and your family this morning. If He was, we'd be experiencing revival. Somebody help me. What we are, we're falling in contentment. We're in a place of comfortality. We're falling in the valley of comfort, and we got it all comfortable, and we don't want to sacrifice or do nothing more greater than do what we're doing. And we pray for revival, but we'll never get it unless we step and sacrifice. We seek God to save our lost loved ones and save our children and do something great in America and do something great in our churches. Hey, but I've got to tell you, friend, God will never do it unless we take a step, a sacrifice, and be willing to let God us things in our life and draw a little closer to a holy God. Amen. Get a little closer. Mean some business with God. You see, Elijah seemed like he was all by himself. Amen. He said there was, well, there was 850 prophets of 450 prophets of the grove and prophets of Baal, and he seemed like he was all by himself. There Elijah was that day. He was praying. He believed in God. He believed that God would answer his prayer. He knew that God had took care of him in the brook Kidron, and he knew that God had made a widow woman had to supply his needs. He knew that even in the midst of famine, when it seemed like everything was dead, when it seemed like everything was tried, when it seemed like God was quiet, God took care of him. Amen. And he kept a heart for God. He kept a heart for the things of God. He kept a relationship with the God of Israel. He kept a close walk with God, even though it seemed like everybody else didn't care. Even though it seemed like the world didn't care and was hanging up on God, worshiping all those false gods, there was a little man called Elijah that believed in a holy God and said, I still believe God can overtake this country and do something for this country. Where's the Christian? Where's the Christian? Where's the saint of God? Hey, that will get real with God and believe that God could still do something and still have revival in your heart. I believe He can set up the judges. I believe He can set up the in the court, the jurisdiction. I believe he could set up. We got policemen that are Christians in our community. Hey, we got higher ups in our county and a fellow running for sheriff here. He's a Christian man and different things. I thank God for that. That we live in Izzard County. Hey, where things are a little old time and old fashioned. I couldn't keep up with that other mess anyhow. I gotta tell you, you better grab a hold of what we got, and you better pray about it, and you better thank God for it, and we better seek revival, hey, so that God will do something in our community, in our county, in our own personal lives. I done blotched my whole message and all my notes. I might as well throw them out. I don't even know what I was going to say, but I know this. Why no revival is because of the condition of Israel in chapter 16. Look over there in chapter 16. The condition of Israel, chapter 16, verse number 29. Verse 29, I'll read some scripture. And in that 38th year, King Uzziah, year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. All right, so Ahab took reign, and Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria in 2 years. And Ahab did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, look here, what come to pass after the rulers did that was evil. Amen. There was corrupt. He was corrupt. And it says, and it came to pass as he have been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. You know that Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they were the kings and over the north and south tribes of Israel. And they were sinful kings. And it says he took a wife, Jezebel. Amen. And Jezebel have lived her name from this day forward. Everybody in the world knows what a Jezebel is. She's lived up her name, the daughter of Ishbel, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And that's what happened. The condition of Israel is from the top down. They begin to worship the false idols, bring in images, make groves, and provoke God. And I got to tell you, hey, friend, what you're doing in your life and what we're doing in this church and other churches that are not putting God in the first place that he deserves, we're thinking God's a dead God, or at least we act like it. We believe that God don't save no more, so we don't witness. We don't tell nobody about the Lord. We don't get excited about God. Hey, we act like God's just an image sometimes, and it is provoking God. I believe the New Testament church ought to get by God back in his place and stop provoking the God of Israel and start promoting the God of Israel. Provoking him instead of promoting him. Hear the condition of Israel. The king on down have provoked God because of their false idols from God on down. And let me tell you, God declared because of this through Elijah. Elijah in chapter 17, verse number 1, prayed. And God said, you pray until I have, there ain't going to be no rain. Now, I'm going to get somewhere with this. No rain in Israel because of you worshiping false gods. You provoke God and God's going to do something. America has provoked God. Homosexual, bisexual, sexual, pornography, you name it. Hey, from the computer on down to the magazine, friend. Hey, to strip bars, so-called Christian nightclubs, Christian rock groups. I could go on and on, but I'm afraid I'll get mad. Hey, but friend, I tell you, American society and Christian society has adapted to the ways of the world and adopted the things of the world. And friend, I stand to tell you, we are provoking a holy, almighty, righteous God. And it breaks my heart. And I believe we've provoked God to a place where we see no rain. Everybody with me? No rain. Everybody say no rain. No rain because of the condition of Israel, the condition of God's people. The condition of God's people are provoking a holy God, are provoking a righteous God, are provoking a God, hey, that provides for them, hey, that's power for them. Everything that they need is demonstrated through the hand of God, and everything that you need is demonstrated through the hand of God. Hey, but so many times we got our hands in everything else, and we're not holding on to His hand. Friend, I got to say, we provoked the Holy One of Israel. Somebody help me. So God declared no rain. No rain. Could I say no revival? Anybody with me? God declared it. That's why 1 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people. That's why it's all hinging upon the people. We know God can. We've seen His power. He parted the waters, walked across the dry ground. Hallelujah to God. He did so many miracles in your life since the day that you got saved. Hey, that you could testify from now on out how God's been good to you, church. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. But because of the condition we provoked Him, because of the Laodicean church lifestyle, lukewarm, straddling the fence, I'm trying to preach if you'll accept it. I'm trying to tell you the truth. We straddle the fence. We've camouflaged Christianity. We've adapted the things of the world. We've adopted the things of the world. We're not willing to sacrifice our own flesh and our own things for half true revival. And we're provoking God. And He says, that's why there is no revival. The condition of God's people. Because it all hinges on God's people. I want to tell you, don't wait. If you're waiting on the world to bring revival and to change America, it ain't going to happen. If you're waiting on education to get smart enough to figure the society out and the economics, it's not going to happen. Is it? If you're waiting on another president to find a solution for your health, wealth, and prosperity, it ain't going to happen. Am I right, church? It all comes from an almighty, holy, righteous God. Woo, hallelujah. Son, that's where it all comes from. And it won't change until we get it from Him. The cause of no fire took place, Luke 26 and 29, the same chapter, I believe. But Orah wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. And for he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and the sins wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now there's the second time, actually the first time it's mentioned, I read to you the second time. I got it kind of mixed up there. But my point is that they did sin wickedly, and they didn't have a fear of God. They provoked the Lord, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And I want to say that everything you do, all in the eyes of God. He sees everything you do, whether it's in the closet or in the bathroom, in the bedroom, or at work, and or in your truck. The way you talk, your vocabulary as a Christian ought to be right with God. And you ought to, your life ought to back up what you believe. And you ought to live holy the best you can to give account to a holy, righteous God. You say, that's works. No, it ain't. I'm a workmanship created into Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm not work to get saved. I work because I am saved. And friend, it's not a work. It's by grace through faith. And I tell you what, I'm indebted to a holy God that saved my soul. I'm indebted to Jesus Christ that took my sins upon Himself. And I'm indebted to Him as He walks and talks with me every day of my week. Thank God, I'm indebted to Him. And anything I can do to honor Him, I want to do it. I want to do it because He's holy. And He's worthy. What a Savior we serve. Hallelujah to God. What a Savior. Why no revival? The condition, the cause of this no fire. And I want you to look, I mentioned a little bit earlier, and Elijah was taken care of in the midst of this famine as God's people. He stuck with God, stayed true to God. He did not fall into apostasy. He did not turn and go with the crowd, but he stuck to a holy God. He prayed. He sought God. Even though it seemed like he was by himself, he honored God. He loved God. God fed him with the ravens. Could you imagine? I wonder what the ravens, where they got their food from. I just so happen to believe they probably got it from the palace. You remember the old story where the pie would sit on the window sills to cool down? And I believe the old raven would come in and grab him some and take it to Elijah, and nobody could figure it out and nobody cared. Chicken nuggets? I don't know. Fried biscuits? I'm thinking of some more good stuff here. Could you imagine what a raven could carry? What a full-grown man could eat? Don't you know they were some busy ravens, huh? God took care of that man, God's people, because they had a heart for God. And even though Elijah thought he was the only one, the Bible says that there were 7,000 others in Israel with the people of Israel that never kissed the feet of Baal and never bowed the knee to Baal. That means they never worshiped Baal. They stuck true to the God. They may not have vocalized it like they should. They may not have proclaimed it like they should. But they honored God and they didn't bow the knee to Baal. Somebody go to church. But I got to believe when old Elijah called down fire from heaven, I believe they stood up and stood out and said, "That was my God. That's my God. That's my God. I told you that Baal was not real." Why no revival? I want you to look in chapter 18, and we'll try to get to our message and go through here and let you go to the house. Chapter 18, I want to talk about this revival fire. Before I read this, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture in Psalms. Psalms 63, and I want to give you a promise of Scripture. A passage of Scripture. We're still talking about how that God takes care of His own people in the middle of the dry time, in the barren times, where there is no revival. There is no revival, church. Hey, I appreciate this church. Hey, they've honored God and honored the hunger and thirst after revival before I even came here. And there's people in this church that had prayed for revival and seek God for revival. And they may have been, different from the rest because they believed God would shout and sing and praise God. I say hallelujah. I say glory to God. I say praise His name. Hey, friend, hey, honor God and have a hunger and thirst after revival in a dry and thirsty land. Hey, if all of our area sister churches go dead, hey, by God's grace, we're going to keep the fire burning. Hey, if everybody in Arkansas turns apostasy, by the grace of God, we'll hold on to an old King James Bible and sing Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Psalm 63, verse number 1 says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh crieth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory." "And so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life." Y'all get me now? "My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live." "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate thee on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Oh, hallelujah to God. Boy, that did something for me right there. Rejoice in the shadow of his wings. That's what God will do for you, child of God. Doesn't matter where you're at, your workplace or at home, God will do this for you. He will honor you when you honor Him. And let me tell you, when you're at a dry time in your spiritual life, your spiritual relationship with God, you stay faithful like Elijah did. He said, "With food and raiment," God said, "with food and raiment, therewith be content." He said, "You hold on. You don't lose your hope. Don't lose your promise. Hold on, friend. Hold on, child. Hold on, child. Hey, weeping may endure for the night. Hey, but joy cometh in the morning if the child of God, hey, will hold on to the hand of God. You may see it and you may not see the presence of God now. You may not see Him move now. Hey, but friend, you stay faithful to God. You hold on to God and you'll see it. You'll see His glory revealed. You'll see the response of God. However you need the response, however in every situation, when you need God to respond to you, whatever situation, everybody with me, whatever situation that you need, you stay strong and hold on and woo, He'll respond to you. Thank God for I serve a responding God. Amen. Glory. Chapter number 18, verse number 30 and 33, the altar was repaired. Look there. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's a significant order to make God respond. The word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built the altar. In the name of the Lord he made a trench about the altar as great as wood, contained 2 measures of seed. That represents the barren seed, the famine. God said, I want you to build a trench that represent and measure this trench will measure 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him in the wood and filled 4 barrels of water. That was the great high-priced water right there. 3 years of famine. I mean, water was precious. He poured that out into them the trenches where the seed, the 2 measures of seed would represent. He poured that water on there, poured it on the wood, poured it on the sacrifice. And you know what happened? The fire fell when he prayed. First step to having revival, to experience revival, to honor these revival fires is to rebuild the altar. Repair the altar in the order that God said. Somebody go to church. Repair the altar in God's order, not your own order, not society's order, but God's way. Repair the altar. Number 2, reclaim the altar. Verse number 40, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Elijah reclaimed who God was and reclaimed who the altar was for. You notice that they built their own altar. They worshipped on their own altar. They danced for hours and screamed and cried and begged the God of Baal. Cut themselves and prayed and begged that their God would answer by fire. And he did not respond. And when Elijah took over, when God's people took over, he rebuilt the altar and then reclaimed the altar. I believe some churches and some individuals ought to reclaim prayer, ought to reclaim submission unto God, ought to reclaim repentance and reclaim revival. Understand who is the God that answers by fire. It is your God. It is your God. It is your God. You are the ones that serve a living true God, and only revival can come from your God. We need some reclaiming. America needs to reclaim. This is the country that is a Christian nation. I don't care what the old black Muslims said. Hey, friend, it is a Christian nation, and we were built on the precious words of God. Amen. We'll still build on the word of God until the Lord takes us home. Thank God there's some remnant. Thank God there's some remnant. Thank God there's some remnant Christians that'll preach and that'll stand on the word of God. Thank God for some Christians that believe in old time revival. I'm about to have a fit. Glory to God. Anybody with me? Altar of reclaiming. Giving God back that what is His, that belongs to Him. Reclaiming. We could go somewhere with this, a lot of areas in our life. Reclaiming. Putting him back, reclaiming. Why no revival? We don't give him what he deserves. Look here. A fire of repentance. 38 and 39, the fire fell. And look what the people did. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, what'd they do? Fell on their faces. It's called repentance. The people repented. When they repented, Paul, they denounced their God. The fire had to fall to prove this. But God's not going to send that. He's already proved it. And the fire, we ain't got to build an altar today. We ain't got to build an altar. We don't have to have a contest. He's done proved it. He's done won it. We already know it. He's done it time and time again. We just need to let him have it and reclaim it. But these people, you know what they did? They fell on their face. Repented. When's the last time you as an individual were so sorry about the way you treated God in your life, so sorry about something you did in your life that you honestly broke down and fell at the feet of Jesus? So maybe it was in your bedroom, or maybe it was somewhere, maybe it was on that altar, and you actually shed tears and repented. We know that God is a faithful God who forgives us. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what we do. We can claim 1 John 1:9. Hey, it's powerful. It still works. Hey, but I'm telling you, we will never experience personal revival, church-wide revival, country-wide revival, unless some of us fall on our faces and repent and denounce the gods of this world and cry out to God and fall in repentance and acknowledge who God is. That's what they did. Now look, all the people fell down. That's what it says, right? When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, what you said a while ago, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The fire of repentance. That's the people repented, then God responded. Now here in this passage of Scripture, God answered by fire, then the people responded. But since the death of the testator, all the signs and wonders are done. And so you're supposed to respond or repent, and then you see God respond. Anybody with me? It's if my people, it's on you, it's on me. And when I respond, I repent, God responds to me. We talked about that in Sunday school, about our praise. Magnifying God, and God responds to that. All right, and you find out in verse number 44, here's the heart of the message, 41 through 44, 46, the fire of revival. Now, before you read this, look up here, don't read. Quit reading. I know you're reading ahead. Revival and fire goes hand in hand. How do you say that? Simultaneously. That's a big word. That's why we call it revival. What? Fires. Revival is a fire. And this passage of Scripture, fire fell, revival took place in Israel. Are you with me? There was a letter wrote out that used to be called, I think there may be still, that preachers put out, Revival Fires. And here's something that I appreciate about internet and that kind of stuff, is I can still hear and get stories about what God's doing in other places. And I see people in churches getting saved and churches being revived. And that encourages me. But revival is likened to a fire. And a revival is likened to a wildfire that cannot be contained. It's not planned. It ain't planned. It won't be prevented. Anybody with me? When true revival takes place, you can't stop it. Because there's God's people that are sacrificed and prayed and humbled, and they beg God. And when God says, I'm going to send revival, son, you might as well back out, and you're going to see God's response. So revival is likened to fire. Revival fire. And that's what we need. We need the fire. We say, you'll hear me say, I want the fire of God burning in our hearts. The fire of God burning in our church. Someone said if the pastor will set the pulpit on fire, then the people will come and watch him burn. Come in. If the church, some we say if the church is alive, it's worth the drive. Some people will say, hey, you ought to go down that church down there. They're on fire. Society knows what we're talking about when we talk about fire and when we talk about revival. Hey, but pretty soon, if you don't tell your grandchildren about it, if you don't tell your children about it, and if your children don't experience true revival, I guarantee you, a few years from now, the term revival fire will be an old age term that nobody knows what it's talking about. God help us. God help us if we ever get to that place. I like to talk about revivals that I've experienced, and I've not experienced very many of them, but I like to talk about revivals. I love to read about revivals. I love to read about the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the Third and the Fourth Great Awakening that happened in America and England, how it came over here, how that we gained the Bible Belt in our country because of the Great Awakenings and the old-time preachers would stand and preach the truth and people would fall on their knees and repent and cry and their whole household families would get saved. I still believe in that kind of God. Revival fires. Look what happens when revival fires take place. And Elijah said to Ahab, get up. Eat and drink. Now, Miss Cindy, when I read this, it seems like even Ahab at this time was not eating or drinking. Maybe he was fasting, even though he was a wicked king. Maybe by this time, maybe he said, you know what? Elijah's God is the only God. I know he's the one that stopped the rain. He said, I'm not going to eat or drink. Maybe he, even the king, I believe here. You ever read that? Maybe even the king was getting serious about God doing something. That's what it seems like. Elijah told him, said, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. Could you imagine after 3.5 years, there's a little rumble in the sky. Everybody's little kids, 3-year-old kids said, Daddy, Mommy, what's that? Never heard that before. What is that noise? Mama said, I don't know, but it could be rain. Let me tell you a story. One time when I was a little kid. One time when I was a little kid, I was in an old-time church, and the preacher was preaching on hell, and the preacher started preaching, and I felt the Holy Ghost conviction, and the thunder began to roar, and the conviction took place, and I got a little rain in my soul. Sound of abundance of rain. We need a sound of abundance of rain. Look at verse 42. So Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth. Look what the man of God's doing. He's praying for rain. He's praying for God's people. And he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up, look. Now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Here's the, you could, these 7 times I believe it is, you could represent seven years. I don't know. I wonder if you look back in society and even the history of America, in history when God, even in a history of a church, there's times and periodically God puts, there's times that he really moves here. And it may be years. Then he'll really move again. He weeds people out, brings people back in, gets another pastor that believes in God, whatever he's got to do, calls some people to preach, calls the missionaries, does something tragically in someone's life to make them call on God, and he does whatever he's got to do to get people to fall on their face so that the glory of God and the revival could take place again in a church. That's what he does. Let me tell you, I can take you right now. And Brother Billy's dad's preached in many of these churches that are, the church is about to fall in, you know. There's one church, there's 2 churches over there in Weidman that I know of, right? Or is there 3? Several on Weidman Road. One of them still got the bell in. I went into it the other day. I was driving down Weidman Road. I just like doing that. If I see a church, it don't matter if it's Presbyterian or Methodist. It's a church building. God's people used to meet in there. The old Bible used to be preached. Blessed Assurance used to sing. I just want to walk in there and see if I can feel something. That old bell was up here and that rope came down. And they had a little stage right there with an oval ceiling. I started singing in there. And Guess what happened? Oh, yes, it's real. Hallelujah. God's still God of a life that's alive. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, I was talking about stories. Them churches represent stories. And every one of them old timers, them churches, if the walls could talk, they would tell you what God done in them places. Changing lives. God's all about people. God is a people God. He don't care much about anything else but His people. And that's what we need to care about. And if them walls could talk, he would find stories of how families got saved. Somebody help me. Sinners, anybody got saved in a revival meeting here? Raise your hand if you've ever, if you got saved during a revival meeting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hallelujah. Thank God for revival meetings. Amen. But them walls could tell stories how that God moved. And that body, that church, that body of Christ. Said it went up one time. There was nothing, right? Verse number 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, that's all Elijah needed. He said, go up. God said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. And Elijah rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. I'm sorry, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. Ain't that awesome? That man was on fire. 16-mile journey right there. Beat the chariot. I believe he had a touch of God. I believe he had a supernatural touch of God. And I believe you can experience it too. Don't discredit God. Don't even discredit God a second. Listen to me, church. Not a one of you this morning discredit God. Don't you doubt God and discredit God's ability in your own personal life. It don't matter if you have the qualities or not. It don't no matter if you have the vocabulary or not. It don't matter if you have the abilities or not, or you think you do. God in heaven can use your vessel and can fill your vessel in such a way He can supernatural empower you to do something great for God. You don't have to be 40. You don't have to be 80. You can be 4 years old and God will do it. So many times we discredit God. I'm trying to finish here. I'm wrapping up. Ahab was desperate. He's praying and fasting, humbleness. We know because of Ahab's sin, there wasn't no rain. But because of his repentance, God responded. And then there was rejoicing, and there was results that everyone experienced and enjoyed because of this revival fire. Everyone was glad for the rain. Everyone. From the littlest to the eldest. When that first drop of rain hit, and that black cloud come over, the old creeks that they used to play in was going to be filled with water. God sent the rain. And everybody was on the blessing end. Was on the end of getting results of this rain. As you stand to your feet, we prepare for invitation. I'd like to bring something you may not have thought about in this passage of Scripture. How many people did God did it say, did it talk about the reason that there wasn't no rain? How many people brought in this famine? How many, was it all of Israel that brought in this famine? It wasn't, was it? It was Ahab and Jezebel. The leaders brought in a famine. And then there was one man that believed in God. Everybody else, the 7,000, didn't vocalize what they believed.
That's right.
Am I right?
That's right.
Am I right? Stay with me. Hang with me. One man stood in contest and said, let's see whose answer is by fire. The minority stood with the, against the majority.
Right.
And said, God's real. I don't care what you say. God's powerful. I don't care. He's in control. I don't care what you say. And God honored that one man. I want to ask you, could there be one this morning that believes that God could send revival to your heart? Just one, to your home, your family. Maybe some area in your life that you need and could experience true revival. I believe I gave some conditions and some causes why there was no, why there is no revival in America, why there is no revival in our homes. Would there be a 4 or 5 year old young person? Listen up here, kids. Hey, kids, hey, would there be a little kid that would come down and surrender to God and believe that God could send revival to you?
Amen.
Believe that God could save you if you're not saved, and believe that God could use you in your life? Would there be one adult that would come down and say, God, would you send revival to me? Maybe even sacrifice some of your own personal endeavors, maybe your own sins in your life. Maybe you say, look, I'm going to get rid of these things. I'd rather trade a walk with God and forget about these things and have a walk with God and have true revival in my home or my house or my community.
Amen.
Than to it go the way it's going. Will there be one as we begin to sing? Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you bless this invitation. Lord, every decision that's made, I pray, God, that you'd meet it. God, every prayer that's prayed, God, I ask you, God, that you'd respond to your people. God, Lord, I don't know, Lord, what you want this morning. Lord, I know that you do want revival, but I don't know the hearts of your people. You know them. So I pray, Lord, as your people open up their heart, let the presence of God move and work on their life. Let God speak to them. I pray, Lord, that you would answer their needs. I pray, Lord, if there'd be someone in here that would want to come and make a decision with Christ. Maybe they don't know you as their Lord and Savior. Maybe, Lord, they would realize today is the day of salvation. I pray, God, that you'd save them. Meet the needs, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.